On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Anne-Marie O'Dwyer, chatting all things the psychiatry of cancer.
I want to say that it's very common to be very distressed, to have a very prominent psychological response to cancer, that they are not alone, that lots of other people feel in that way, and that it's important for them to have information. Information is power, but it has to be the right information.
As ever, we're available on all podcast platforms.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave, 1919, 1920. There's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
The league final matchups are set, with Dublin's clash against Derry set to be the highlight of what is hopefully an exciting weekend of action in Croke Park. However, there'll be a bit of making up to do. Unfortunately, the final round of National Football League yesterday didn't produce a whole pile of drama, and that will be one of the many talking points we address on today's episode of the Throwing Football Show. Will Slattery here with you, delighted to be joined by Conor McKeown and Dick Clerkin. And Dick, I think you put it pretty succinctly in the opening of your article in today's Irish Independent. You said, damp, miserable and largely forgettable, not only the weather recently, but also the National League over the last couple of weeks. It's almost amazing we've been able to fill so many podcasts, considering, ultimately, what are we left with at the end of it? Like, I think you echoed the feelings of a lot of people that it never really caught fire, bar maybe one or two matches. And obviously, we're hoping for a really good game in Croke Park and maybe with Armagh Donegal as well. Like, what are your kind of thoughts over the league as it draws to a close?
Yeah, and I sat down yesterday not to be purposely negative, and I try not to be, at most try to be optimistic, but there was just so little to get excited about looking back, you know. And I was trying to think, well, what were the really good games that I was either at, or you sat down maybe on a Saturday evening or Sunday afternoon and could reflect back and say, oh yeah, that was great. Jesus, just so few. And even at that, there were so many games you did sit down to watch, and there were just real anticlimax and disappointments in terms of, like, Kerry Dublin, Derry Dublin, games that you'd sort of looked forward to, and another year would have thrown up a really good contest. And, you know, so that, yeah, it was just very, very, very average. And a lot of the football, like, I've been at a few games now at different levels over the last few weeks, and they're hard watch, you know, when they're not, you know, when there's nothing to play for in the lateral football, it doesn't lend itself to an enjoyable afternoon or an evening, wherever you're going for. And that was just the overriding sentiment. Now, I suppose I'm clouded a wee bit just the way Monaghan's experienced a lot of the games that we went, you're sort of tinged with frustration and there is an element of that, there's no question. I'm sure if you're a Derry supporter or an Armagh or a Dublin or a Donegal, you might have a bit more of a rose-tinted glasses look at it. But I think in general, like, there wasn't much to get excited about, and it was a once-off, because usually the league has been quite entertaining, and definitely the final day has thrown up some great contests. Or is it pointing maybe as well that the structure now, and where the league sits, it's been squeezed, and a competition that once really was a great competition in its own right has been diluted and compromised for what happens later in the summer. I think that'd be the bigger concern, that we've lost something in what was really a really good competition.
Yeah, Conor, what's your view? And you've obviously been attending games week in and week out. And it's funny, I think after the opening night, we had Derry and Kerry, which was a great game. Dublin Monaghan, obviously, which was a great, exciting game. We were probably thinking on that Monday morning, oh, we're set for a barnstorming couple of weeks. But ultimately, it didn't really play out like that. What's your perspective on some of the things Dick touched on and what you've kind of picked up yourself over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's more or less it. I think the big problem isn't necessarily that the quality of football or the style of the game. Some of them are good and some of them aren't. That just happens. But I think the big problem is, like, after the first round, it looked like we were in for a good league, because, you know, the first round of the league, it starts on the same day for everyone. Everyone has the same length of a build-up. Everyone has a game a week later and has the same programme in front of them. But when you get towards the back end of the league, when it should be kind of taking shape and becoming a very sort of very transparent storyline, all of a sudden teams' focus starts to shift. You know, like people just have bigger priorities, and you can't blame them either. Like Jim McGuinness made this point a couple of weeks ago. You know, things are about to get very, very serious for counties in particular provinces, and they're not about to get serious for counties that aren't in those provinces. And that's, I mean, I even find it hard to reference this again, but like the fact that the provincial championships still carry the weight that they have, and the fact that they're so skewed, and the fact that they're positioned before the start of the All-Ireland Championship, and there's so much riding on them in terms of qualification for the All-Ireland Championship now, it completely skews. Like, how could the league be anything other than a very confusing mixed match of games? You know, like Tyrone, I was at Dublin Tyrone yesterday, and as good as Dublin have been this year, and as direct and everything else that they played this year, Tyrone were not there. Like their heads were completely elsewhere. Okay, the team was watered down. They're missing five or six key players. But in terms of attitude and everything else, that is not any sort of a reflection on where Tyrone are. And it's no sort of a reflection of where Dublin are either. So there's a game between two big teams in the last day of the season. It could viably have been televised. It wasn't. It probably might have been the second televised game from Division 1. And obviously, the teams had different priorities because, as we know, Dublin will coast through Leinster more than ever. They've the strongest squad they've had maybe in 4 or 5 years. And the standard in Leinster hasn't picked up, but it might even have declined. So we might get a decent league final, you know, that there might be a bit on the cards. Whereas, you know, Armagh Donegal, which should be a good game on paper, like they played a really, I was at the game they played in Armagh a couple of weeks back, and it was really tense, and, you know, it was fraught, and there was a lot of energy. It was compelling to watch. I'm not sure we'll take anything away from that game. There's no chance. And then even if you go through it, you know, the rest of the thing, you know, not being wise after the event, but I'd have probably picked Roscommon, maybe Monaghan for relegation from Division 1. I'd have definitely picked Armagh and Donegal to go up from Division 2. I definitely did pick Westmeath and Down to go up from Division 3. So I suppose it has all just been very predictable, and that is a problem for the league, because I suppose the point of the league is there's so many kind of vagaries built into it. It can throw up things that make you sit up and take notice. And I don't think enough of those things happened this spring for us to really sit up and take notice.
Yeah. And that thing, Conor, you're saying about the, you know, that the focus shift into the championship, like that didn't help in but not to say that wasn't always going to be the case, and you know, we would have been naive to think otherwise, but the commentary from managers and the overriding narrative around games, that started quite early. You could hear it from the Kevin McStays and different managers. It's a case of, we actually don't want to finish any higher than sort of middle table. Do you know what I mean? And that sort of gets into the psyche of everything that well, if managers and teams are not really bothered about this, well how does anybody else get excited about it? It sort of sets the tone of the competition and sets the tone of the game, and then there's the injuries mount and all the rest. So there was just a very sort of underwhelming narrative throughout the whole of the league, and that sort of last final day was the sort of the day that it deserved, because that's it was sort of building up to that sort of an apathy around it. And as you say, hopefully it's a one off, and just the way the games fell, and you know, it was unusual that there wasn't some drama for the final day. But even the fact now, like even Monaghan getting relegated, because really it's all about being in the last 16 for the All-Ireland, it doesn't even feel like it's a big cost. Do you know what I mean? You're sort of saying, we're still in Sam for this year, we're still there for next year. So getting relegated isn't as big a deal as it might have felt. I certainly don't feel that you're losing out a whole pile, because the league really all matters now. It's about setting you up for the All-Ireland or Tailteann Cup later in the year.
Even at that as well, like the inverse, you know, there's a fair chance that whoever wins the Division 2 or the Division 3 final on Saturday will get a spot in the All-Ireland in the last 16, but we won't know that until after the provincial championship.
So even the
small prize that
does exist, that's right, yeah,
you won't know going into the game. So okay, the two teams will probably duke it out. You know, it's far better to win the game and then have other things outside your control go against you than look back and go, sure, why didn't we win the game? If we'd won it, we'd be in the All-Ireland series now. But because of the positioning of the provincial championships in between the league and the championship, and because that takes most of the weight away from the league, it ruins the league as a competition. And we can talk around in circles about it all day, and we will, but ultimately the league is a better competition than the provincial championships. You know, like, it, you know, take away the kind of the history and the rivalry and all the rest of it. Like, as a sport and competition on its merits, the league is a far better competition. And I think positioning closer to the All-Ireland series and giving it greater weight and greater transparency would have made it an even better competition. But this is the situation that we're left with. And from what I can make out from GAA decision-making level, you know, the provincial championships seem to be the sacred calves that just can't be sacrificed.
Yeah, for the moment, I think with every passing year that the merit of them is just lessening, and it'll get to a point that there's just no case for it. Like, you know, as you said, God, what will Leinster be like this year of all years? Also, probably going to be better than ever. You know, you've it's almost like Ulster needs to be pulled out, like Liv Golf, and be a sort of standalone nine, and let the rest of it go to hell, because that's almost propping the argument for the provincials as a whole, whereas the rest of it is largely irrelevant, and maybe Connacht has its moments to a lesser extent.
Yeah, Dick, I will be intrigued to see like Derry's approach to the Dublin game, because, you know, they've won two Ulster titles in a row. Their position in the All-Ireland series is secure. Like, I would argue that going full bore and taking down Dublin would be a bigger kind of step on their journey than like focusing everything on Donegal 2 weeks later and just saying, oh, we'll treat Dublin as a game, a means to an end to get to our first provincial game. What way do you look at that? Because, as I said, like, taking down Dublin would surely, given what they've achieved, they've won their Ulster titles already, that would maybe be a bigger step, would it?
Yeah, there's the argument on both sides. So let's have the argument for going at it full tilt. What's the argument? And we all hope that is the approach that Mickey Hart takes. As Sean Kavanagh said in the Sunday game last night, the planets are aligned for Derry to have a crack at winning All Ireland, and for counties like Derry and all the rest, that doesn't come around, you know, every so often, you know, that frequently. So does Mickey Hart and Derry having a real cut at Dublin in Croke Park on Sunday further that objective and that opportunity? I think it does, because it's laying down a marker. It's you know, they used to talk about the, you know, the big teams, the New York Yankees, the teams beaten going out on the pitch because of the jersey and the stripes. You know, sometimes when you're getting used to getting beaten by teams just by who they are in the jersey, that feeds into the psyche. So they've an opportunity to beat Dublin and Croke Park, which is a huge thing mentally for teams and players to do. So I think they should. You know, I think the 3 weeks, actually, I think there could be 3 weeks, is it, between the game? And that's a long time in a GAA season now. Like, we're talking teams having to get in a week's rest. 3 weeks is a long time for any knocks and niggles to clear up and rest. So I think, you know, getting a win, or even if they fell slightly short, but that, you know, I don't see Dublin not having a proper cut at it. Like, they've put out as good or as strong a team as they probably have. So I expect Dublin to put out a full team going to win this. So it's really up to Derry, and I referenced that in my column. It's what the Derry want to do will set the terms of engagement. Did they put out their strongest 15, you know, man on man, and go at it and see where they're at the end of it? I think they will. I think 3 weeks is long enough to sort of say, and Mickey Hart is the type that he will relish the opportunity, relish the challenge. We hope to have a really good cut, because if they can win and turn over, that's a mental box ticked ahead of potentially a championship showdown later in the summer.
Yeah, Conor, because if you look at Derry's campaign, 6 wins out of 7, they've used 37 players, which is like, so they racked up the wins while also playing a lot of different guys. And the one game they lost against Dublin, we know that they, I know on the day they decided to not start their full team. So they have like a little bit of an excuse there. So it's kind of been a perfect campaign almost, and it seems prime for them to have a proper go. Like, do you expect them to do that? Like, you know, what Dick was saying there?
Yeah, I do. Like, Mickey Hart is a manager who sees the value in winning the McKenna Cup, you know, so the idea that he wouldn't see the value in winning the Division 1 league title is, you know, off the wall. Like, they didn't even have 36 players on the panel for the past couple of years. So that's a big development in the squad, and I think it makes them a more robust team. I know the way they were going with Rory Gallagher with the smaller panel was seen maybe as a sign of strength, but the problem with that is you're only one or two injuries away from finding yourself in a bit of bother, and I think they're less vulnerable to that now. But I suppose what they need to see now is if they have their full team on the pitch and they play a strong Dublin team, and they go at it, and both teams are going at the game at the merits, where exactly they are. I don't, like, you have to remember last year, Division 2 final, Dublin scored 4-6 or something, and Conor Glass went off after 39 minutes. I'm pretty sure all four of Dublin's goals came after he went off. And obviously Mickey went with a bit of an understrength team when they played in Celtic Park a few weeks back. So yeah, we need to see what a full strength area are like against a full strength Dublin. It would be an interesting game, not just because they're the two informed teams, but because I think Dublin have moved on a bit. Their development under Desi Farrell, both the squad and the way they play, has really accelerated this year. Dublin are moving the ball far more quickly from back to front, whether that's long kick passing or even the speed of how they move the ball when they run it. And the one area that you'd say that Derry are vulnerable is they commit so many bodies to their attack. You know, they kind of set up with five guys inside and then run the ball from deep. But frequently when they turn the ball over, and it's not very often because they've lots of pace and they've lots of good ball carriers, but when they do turn the ball over, they're left very, very vulnerable at the back. Sometimes it's one-on-one, two-on-two, and sometimes Aaron Lynch is actually further up the pitch than the two marking defenders. And yesterday in Croke Park, Dublin got five goals, effectively all on the break. So it just shows how they can kind of capitalise on teams who play that game. Dublin are very good now at getting players back behind the ball, sucking the team in. At one stage, I think Tyrone had all 15 players, including Niall Morgan, inside the Dublin 45 because they were so frustrated that they couldn't create a scoring chance. And when eventually they turned the ball over, you know, like the thing about getting men forward, it's seen as a great attacking tactic, but you know, really, if you've 30 players in that small space, it's very hard to create a scoring chance.
You're getting in each other's road at times. Yeah,
and when Dublin, it was like Times Square, like in rush hour. And when Dublin turned the ball over, you know, 5 seconds later, Conor Callan and Niall Scully are herring through a 2-on-1. So Dublin do that really well. And I do think that potentially Derry could be vulnerable to that.
And then this was saying, like you're going to get, like, in terms of training or in-house games or training camps, what better way for Mickey Hart and the Derry's players to really test themselves where they're at in terms of having a good cut and sort of say, well, how can we, even taking the learnings from the Celtic Park game and sort of say, right, well, how can we push it on and try and counter and be tuned into that sort of, you know, wave of Dublin in terms of how they break? Because you're not going to experience that anywhere else. You're not going to experience that in the Ulster Championship or arguably against any other team. You know, Dublin bring a very unique set of skills and approach that you can only sort of work on by playing against them and experiencing it. So as I say, in terms of their trying to get an All-Ireland ready team, you know, I would look at Sunday as an opportunity to really test themselves and really put their test themselves. The first thing is you've got to go with intent, play your best 15 and not have any sort of excuses to fall back on that we didn't have Conor Glass, we didn't have XYZ. You know, nail your colours very early on and see where it takes you. And if you still fall short, well, then isn't that learnings then for later in the summer?
And kind of from a Dublin perspective, like it feels like for like long portions of last year, we were talking about how it was like one of the most open championships, you know, we'd seen in a long time. Then obviously it ended up being Dublin Kerry, Dublin win. Now people are talking like Dublin have pulled away from the pack again and they've kind of repositioned themselves the way they were almost in the Jim Gavin era, just reading some of the kind of the fallout from the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, I think we're definitely only 6 weeks away from is it time to split Dublin feature. I think we give that an airing once every 4 years. But no, like I suppose what's really interesting is I did genuinely think the days of Dublin, you know, Jim Gavin's team were so good at times that you got this suspicion that if you played some of those championship 10 times, they might have won it 9 times. You know, they were that good. They had all the bases covered. Whereas last year Dublin just about cobbled it together for the big games, you know, and ended up winning All-Ireland. And we kind of maybe interpreted that as kind of, you know, a team that are still great, but are on the way down because they didn't look particularly great at any stage in the previous 3 years. But behind the scenes, Desi Farrell has cultivated a very, very strong panel. There are guys there, fellas like Killian McGuinness and Ross McGarry, who are 23, 24 now, who were playing Division 2 games last year and weren't quite good enough last year. But now I think Dublin are starting to reap what they sowed. They took, you know, they kept these fellas around and kept them very interested, despite the fact that they were getting very limited game time. And they now look ready to kind of add to this squad. You know, there were times over the last couple of years when you looked at the Dublin team and said, right, that team, when it's fully strength, they're going to be hard to stop. But the A versus B games couldn't be hectic. You know, there were times you looked at the bench and said, wow, that's some kind of come down from the really stacked benches that they had. But what they've managed to do is I mean, they've managed to make the most, I think, of the good player, good underage players they had. Like, it's a very difficult thing to do. Not every county can do it. But in 2017, when Desi Farrell won an under 21, the last under 21 All Ireland, that team wasn't really fancied. I think Galway were heavy favourites for the final. But from that team alone, they've gotten Evan Comerford and Sean McMahon and Owen Merchant and Keane Murphy and Brian Howard and Colly Baskell and Conor Callan and Paddy Small. That's a huge strike rate for any underage team. You know, there are counties who have won far more with a group of players that never got that amount through. So they've done a great job of keeping fellas around, despite the fact that they didn't get into a team straight away. Like Keane Murphy and Sean McMahon, if Desi Farrell was selecting his team for the championship tomorrow on its merits, they would absolutely be in the defence, you know. And they're 26, 27. Same with Colly Baskell last year. He had his breakout season at 27. So, you know, it doesn't always happen that when fellas go up to senior and they don't crack it straight away, that they stay around and keep trying and eventually crack it at 26, 27. But for some reason, these current Dublin players have. And, like, again, I wouldn't put too much stress on the size of the scoreline yesterday or whatever else, but it was still a serious performance. And Dublin yesterday were without Stephen Cluxton. I just did it here. Mick Fitzsimons, Lee Gannon, John Small, Jack McCaffrey, James McCarthy, Sean Bugler, Cormac Costello and Paddy Small. And Paul Mannion only came off the bench. So in terms of a squad now, like, there was definitely a feeling the last couple of years that Dublin were only maybe an injury to a Con O'Callaghan or a Brian Fenton away from being, you know, contenders as opposed to All-Ireland winners. But the panel that Farrell has now is absolutely savage. And
I still think, though, Conor, I think an element of this is around not just Dublin. I don't think Dublin are as good as the were. I think the problem is that everybody else either has regressed or certainly hasn't pushed on from what we thought. Like Kerry, are Kerry better than the Kerry team that won the All-Ireland 2 years ago? They're not. Galway have regressed. Mayo have regressed from the competitive team that they were. And Tyrone, Derry's the only other team coming out of it all that sort of say can really potentially compete, and we're still not 100% sure. So I think that a lot of the problem is you don't have confidence that there's another team there that can beat that Dublin team, all things been equal, as much as Dublin been better than what they were 4 or 5 years ago. And it's a case of, well, can any of those teams show us something that suggests that the gap is a little bit narrower than we think it is now? And that goes back to Derry. We'd love to see that next Sunday. Armagh, Donegal, it's hard to know because Division 2, it's a bit of a... it's hard to say what level that they're at, but you need somebody to pop their head up and sort of say, yeah, if you know, they can sort of run. And at the same time, Dublin, you can make passes while you're... Like, the fact that Monaghan beat Dublin, that Monaghan team still were able to beat that Dublin team who had a fairly stellar lineup that night, points that there's still an opportunity to have a go at them. But you have to, the style of football that teams play and the modern day football, Dublin will beat that every day of the week and twice on Sundays now. You have to have a proper cut at them. You have to run at them. You have to play with a wee bit of inventiveness and a lot of the stale sort of lateral slow football the teams bring. Dublin just gobble that up now. They're just too good for it. You have to have a proper, like the Mayos did over those years, to have a real proper cut, you know, push up, compete around the middle, and not enough teams do that. It's all too conservative, and that type of football is just not going to beat Dublin, you know.
Yeah, I still think I think they're back to a place now where they're their strongest squad since 1920, you know, and that was probably the strongest squad Dublin have ever had. So I think what's interesting now is whatever they get out of that bunch of players over the next couple of years while they're in their 30s, you know, Fenton, Kilkenny and the rest of them, you know, whatever happens over the next few years will happen. But I think beyond that, Dublin will still have a very, very strong team. Whereas a couple of years ago, it might have been hard to see that. There was definitely a feeling that the arse was going to fall out of it when they all went. Whereas now, I think, like, even look at a guy like Ross McGarry there. He started all 7 games this year in the league. I think he scored 13 points. You know, there's a fella that could be this year's Colly Baskell. And, you know, he's not exactly, like, he's not 21 either. Like, he's 24 or 25. So, yeah, they have cultivated a deeper squad, certainly a deeper squad than, you know, you look at Kerry, for instance, and they needed to find 4 or 5 guys this year. And they definitely tried enough players to find that many, but I'm not sure that you could say the same thing, you know, when it comes to it, do they have as many fallback options? So, yeah, no, like I would be I would be sort of hotter on Dublin's chances this summer than I would have been for the last three or 4 years.
The one thing you mentioned, a few names there, the likes of Jack McCaffrey, James McCarthy, Fitzsimons, as much as they're an asset, they're also a risk. And this is probably going to be big, Desi Farrell's biggest challenge, that at some stage, age does have an impact. God knows I know that. And generally, most players find out too late that they were out on the pitch, the legs were gone and they were beaten, and they look back with regret to sort of saying, you know what, I stayed on too long, or the manager sort of didn't, you know, make that call early on. That's probably going to be his biggest challenge. At what stage does he sort of assess that, you know, these players, like for what they managed last year was phenomenal in terms of their impact in games at their age, you know, where do they fit in now? And how, like, they haven't, you know, so that would be really interesting to watch, because you say the guys that have been getting the jersey over the last number of months, you know, they don't deserve to lose it. But yet you've got these careers, Hall of Famers coming in behind, albeit 35, 36, 37. How does that play out? Because, say, you can, there's been plenty of teams over the years that kept great teams going too long, and it was only after you were beaten by a younger, fresher team that they look back and sort of say, yeah, we didn't get that transition right. Dublin have managed that better than anybody over the last number of years. But as you say, as much as those guys on the bench or in the squad are an asset, they are potentially a risk if it's not managed right. So that's where Desi Farrell will certainly earn his crust this summer.
Yeah, I saw Desi Farrell saying yesterday he hopes to have them available in the coming weeks as the championship ticks near. And Conor, I was very impressed for a second when you said it was their strongest squad since 1920. I thought you were going back 100 years. When Dublin were, I think they won three in a row in the 20s. So I thought, geez, his knowledge of Dublin football is really, really impressive. But yeah, I take your point. It was the end of the Jim Gavin era, not the, you know, before even, you know, Gaelic football was in the modern days, but by any means. To look down the divisions a bit, because obviously Division 1, there wasn't a whole pot of talking points. Roscommon ultimately went down after losing to Derry. Galway stayed up despite losing to Kerry, and they still have a number of injuries to key players that Padraig Joyce will be hoping clears up as they get into the championship. But a team that is intriguing me, Conor, is Cork. They won their last... Sorry, they drew at Armagh and won their prior two games, but they hit 542 from play over the last three rounds. And for a team who have been much maligned, and the start of the campaign was very slow, it looked like they'd be fighting for their lives to even get into the Sam Maguire, they now go into the championship with a bit of positivity. Like, are we overreading, you know, them maybe doing well against some weaker teams and an Armagh team who had already booked their final place? Or do you think, you know, to score that much from play does bode well for maybe a half decent summer for them?
Well, I think they're definitely building up towards the championship, as opposed to what we were saying with some of the Division One teams, that they were kind of reining it in towards the back end of the league. You know, like, you don't go out and score what Cork have scored over the last couple of weeks without sort of having some intent to finish the league very, very strongly. They'd be disappointed they didn't challenge for promotion. I know our man and Donegal were a lot of people's pre-Division 2 favourites, and it kind of panned out like that. But, you know, it was only a couple of weeks ago when they were kind of in the mix for relegation. So, look, they're tracking in the right direction. They do look like they've gotten most of their players fit. Now, they started off the league, I think, with a longer injury list than nearly any team in the country. So it's a good place to be. And I think they're like most of the squads. They're going off on a warm weather training camp before the start of the season, which seemed to be very much more in vogue than they were for a long time. And again, like in Munster, like they can kind of go up through the gears, theoretically at least. But yeah, like, I mean, they're a solid team. It's very hard to sort of scrutinize Cork to a degree, because when you're in Division 2, you know, there are always a couple of games where you're not exactly sure how the result kind of tallies with the overall picture or the overall health of a team. But I suppose, like everything else, like, Cork's season tends to hinge around how they play against Kerry and Munster. You know, that's might be a small bit reductive, but it's very rare that Cork take a trimming from Kerry and Munster and they turn it into a good season through the qualifiers. And by the same token, the years when they beat them, they tended to have good seasons. So, yeah, like that'll sort of make or break their year. But I do think they're in a better position to give Kerry a rattle this year than they have been for the last couple.
Yeah, I think they're due to play them in Killarney if they can beat Limerick. So that'll be an interesting game. They ran them pretty close in the round robin series last year, if memory serves. So that'll be an interesting one. Dick, you know, the Division 3, the big game was Down versus Clare. We touched on it last week, how important it was for Down to just take care of their business. They are being flagged as a coming team. under Conor Laverty. Were you impressed with how comprehensive they were? And like, what do you think their championship prospects are? I know you were touching on them in your column today as well.
Yeah, and I said it last week. I said it was a great opportunity for Down to really sort of, as you said, just get their business done. And it was a game they should have been winning if they've any ambitions to compete in Ulster or compete in the All-Ireland Series, should they get there. I think just looking at the provincials, for the likes of Down and Westmeath, that depends on who might squeeze through. And I think Clare actually could still get through the provincials and say Kildare are looking at it. So they're not guaranteed to get into an All-Ireland Series yet. But listen, they're moving in the right direction, more so than Derry did when they had to sort of come up through the leagues 3 or 4 years ago. That's what they have to do, you know, baby steps for. So listen, they handle their business, and I think if they did get into the All-Ireland Series, they'd be a sort of a welcome addition, and I think they can bring a lot. They have a few good underage teams over the last number of years. They're starting to get a few players out of that, you know, getting the Kilcoo backs in, players back in there and sort of playing for the Down jersey. So that's a positive, and it's good for Ulster football, and it's good for the overriding competition as well, and Westmeath as well, because Westmeath competed really well in the All-Ireland Series last year. You know, you'd like to see them back in. I think they've done enough. So they'll be looking to Leinster as well, because again, like Down, they're not guaranteed into the All-Ireland Series. They might have to navigate their way through. So I think, if I'm right in saying, Conor, you probably know better, is Westmeath, Clare, Louth. I think they're all sort of in the same side of the draw, aren't they, in Leinster? And they're all probably looking to say, to guarantee themselves, they need to sort of... So that half of the Leinster Championship, I know that the Leinster Championship is going to be, from a Dublin perspective, it could be sort of like a mini competition with a lot to play for at the end of it for those counties, you know?
Yeah, like I would have pegged as the second best team in Leinster if they have everybody fit. Now, the last couple of weeks have been very destructive from Westmeath's point of view, of just picking up injuries. I was at their game on St. Patrick's Day against them, and neither team played well, and it was a difficult game for anybody to play well. Difficult pitch, difficult weather conditions. But I see John Heslin came off the bench yesterday when they were beaten by Sligo. That's Heslin's first game this year. And when Westmeath have everybody fit, they're a fair prospect. They have a lot of very experienced players, but I think they're a very strong team. And I think you could kind of hang your hat on them a bit better than you could the other teams in Leinster. Like Louth did well to survive in Division 2 this year, and Kildare are an absolute disaster. I mean, like, losing 7 games in Division 2 takes some doing. It's an extraordinary run, and you know, the idea that they're going to turn it around now for summer is just completely fanciful. So no, I'd expect Westmeath to come through that side of the draw, and all the goals with it, you know. But again, I think Down and Westmeath will play out a strong game on Saturday, because there is a chance the winner will go into the All-Ireland Series next year, and it's far better to win that game and things go against you at a later date, and it's out of your hands, than to not bother with that game and then you find out in 4 or 5 weeks' time that you would have been in the All-Ireland Series had you won it. So, and you have to remember, Westmeath, they're playing Division 3 this year, but I mean, last year they should have beaten Armagh. They should have beaten Tyrone. You know, like that is kind of, they mightn't be able to consistently compete at that level during the league when their older players aren't always available to them, or they get 1 or 2 injuries. But when they're at their best, you know, they're definitely a Division 2, sort of higher Division 2 team. You know, they'll feel having won the... I think that winning the Talton Cup sort of it's almost like, you know, reading Ulysses or something like that. I mean, it's great to have done it, but you wouldn't do it for a second time. Do you know what I mean? So, like, as much as Westmeath took out of it the last time, I'm not sure the players would really relish having to do it again. So, yeah, I think the All-Ireland Series is where it's at, and I think it's where they need to be. And same with Down. You know, it just goes to show you how lopsided the whole thing is. Like, are Down the sixth best team in Ulster? Maybe, but they're definitely a top, whatever, 12, 14 team in the All-Ireland. You know, they mightn't get a sniff of things in Ulster for the next few years, but they're definitely going in the right direction. Like, if them were in Leinster, you'd nearly make them the team most likely to get to a Leinster final. In Connacht, they'd have a fair crack at, you know, Roscommon, Mayo, or...
That's only because they've got their house in order. Like, Down were fairly shambolic there for a few years, Connacht.
Yeah, but even just watching them the last couple of years, they're scoring an awful lot. They're a very good modern team. And I think in Oran Murdoch, they have one of the best young footballers in the country. so much goes through them now. They're so reliant on him. But there's a guy who needs to kind of play at as high a level as possible, you know, and to test himself. And look, we need to see footballers like that. He's really, really good. And Pat Havern and Liam Kerr, they have really good forwards as well, and they're well organised. And like the Down sort of need to be playing at that level to kick on. But it's so difficult in Ulster.
But they're on a good side, you see. They are on a good side. And like, this is where tradition, you know, as much as I bemoaned it at times, it gives some counties a higher profile than they deserve. When they do get their act together, they'll have that belief that, you know, they don't have any baggage to sort of think that they can't go and beat an Armagh in Ulster semi-final if they come in into the right frame of mind, because that's in the Down psyche. So, more so than they went nearly won a bloody All-Ireland, I don't know, or in 2010. That's what happens with teams like that, and even Galway a couple of years ago. So, yeah, let's watch this space. They've done them really good over the last 2 years to get themselves where they are. Let's seeking to push on.
Yeah, well, it does become a big game, because the loser, given that Clare or Tipperary or someone is likely to take one of those spots available in the All-Ireland Series, whoever wins the game, and if Down, I know you said they're on the easier side of the draw, but still tough to get to an Ulster final. So I think they could really do a winning at the weekend. The last team, sorry, what were you saying?
No, you're actually right. So if Down lost, they're near enough guaranteed not to get through, yeah, because unless Clare will take one, and if yeah, then there's a likelihood of or else of Westmeath and or even allowed to get through. So Down sort of have to win, or else the odds on
it's kind of like
to get
a through. Season almost.
Yeah, the more you think about it, yeah, because there's only really one spot to play for there. Yeah.
Yeah. The last team I want to touch on before I maybe get predictions for the two big games of the weekend, Connor, is Leitrim. A great day for Andy Moran, especially, I suppose, when they lost to New York last year, would have been a massive disappointment. Obviously, there was a lot of fanfare in New York's achievement, but then to come back and secure promotion, they were close last year, didn't get the job done. Great day for Leitrim. You know, I read some of his quotes, you know, how football mad they are. They don't get that many days in the sunshine. So it will be great to see them going up to Croke Park and taking on Leash the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I think when Andy Moran was appointed in Leitrim, you know, it's a little bit unfair, the level of expectation that comes with that, because he was such a young sort of coach. And I know from talking to people involved in Leitrim that the one thing that the players asked for was they just didn't want a journeyman. You know, they wanted something fresh, something new, a manager that they could connect with. And sometimes I think that puts unreasonable expectations on a county. And losing to New York, okay, like it was a great day for everybody else and all the rest of it, but to be the kind of to be the beaten party on a day like that, it's a fair achievement to come back and get promotion the following year in the league, particularly without Keith Byrne. Like, Keith Byrne has been their top scorer for 4 or 5 years, you know, and not just their top scorer, you know, generally the top scorer in Division 4. He is hugely, hugely prolific. So he opted out for this year. And Division 4 is just such a minefield. It's so, so difficult to get out of that. You could be the best team in Division 4, you know, in terms of the strength of your panel, and not get out of it for 5 or 6 years, because you just have teams coming in it from all sorts of different angles, all different directions. Sometimes you're playing on poor pitches. As we know, the weather in, you know, the league is so bad. So it's hard to get out of it. I would say that the step up in terms of league, okay, from Division 2 to Division 1 is a big step up, because you're playing strong teams every single week. But then the next big step up in the league is from Division 4 to Division 3. It's a huge gap in quality, because there's no handy ones. But it's also the, you know, like Wicklow, had they stayed up this year, you could have seen them kind of pushing on, but now they've gone back down. But I think Leitrim are kind of nicely perched there next year to kick on, if they can keep everything together, and if they can get Keith Byrne back. You know, they probably won't go to an Ulster final this year, so they won't be in the All-Ireland Series. And for teams in Division 4, absolutely, getting promoted is the biggest part of their year. That's a successful year now for Andy Moran and Leitrim, regardless of what happens from here on in till the end of it.
Yeah, it's funny to think it's not that long ago that Derry were in Division 4, and I know it took them a couple of years to get up through the ranks, yeah, but it shows how far they've fallen.
Yeah, but that's to Paul O'Connor's point. That's sort of what can happen in Division 4. Sometimes a team drops down that it doesn't, there's no business been down there, and next thing the teams that are there, they're playing for nearly one spot in promotion, because there's a team there is just too strong, and that's why it makes a bit of a mire. So listen, well done. Like, Andy's a great fellow. I was listening to him, been interviewed, and you could just genuinely see his passion and enjoyment for him, because he'd have been even even though as a Mayo man and Leedsrum, he'd have been there with real genuine intent to further Leedsrum football, and after the hits that they got last year, it'll be good. So he'll be looking at the Tailteann Cup now as a real sort of exciting prospect for them, and an ambition to go and get to Croke Park and do something there, hopefully, because that's great to see as well. So best of luck to them.
And Conor, I agree with your point about when like a big name goes into a county like that, there is pressure. Like people are expecting, like, you know, just the Midas touch, a bit of magic dust, and it took a couple of years, but it's nice to see them have some success at the end of it. We might finish up, just get your predictions for the two big games on Sunday in Croke Park. We have Dublin Derry, and Donegal Armagh. Conor, how do you see those two games going?
I think Dublin will win the Division 1 final. Their form is very, very strong, and I think, you know, regardless of what Dublin's kind of overall priority for the year is, you know, you don't finish with five wins and five big wins in the league and then all of a sudden don't show up for a league final. So I think Dublin will carry their form into the league final, and I think that would be good enough to beat Derry. But I think it's great that it is Dublin and Derry, because I don't think there would be any kind of silly buggers. I don't think there's any fear of a phony war. That game would be on its merits, and they're the two best and formed teams in the country at the moment. So I see Dublin edging it. They just have so much firepower, and what's really impressive since the first two games, particularly the first game against Monaghan, defensively they've been really, really solid, really solid. And they just have not conceded goals since the opening game of the season. So that's how I see that going. Honestly, I could not tell you how the Division 2 final is going to go, because I couldn't tell you what Kieran McGeaney or Jim McGuinness are thinking about it. Either one of them could be thinking this week, okay, I want to put, you know, we want to beat these because it's a big game against a big opposition team and there's silverware. And either one of them could already be thinking towards the Ulster Championship. So I would find that one a hard one to predict. I think Armagh are probably a slightly better team than Donegal. So on that basis, I tipped them. But, you know, who knows in what shape they could show up for that game.
Yeah, Dublin actually haven't won an outright league title, I don't think, since 2018. They got one shared one during COVID. So Desi Farrell's never actually won the league. I'm not sure if he doesn't seem to care that much in his interviews. But
the famine is over, Conor O'Callaghan says. He lifts the league title into the sky on Sunday.
I think sometimes you can take for granted what teams think about winning titles. Like, don't all those young Dublin players, you mentioned them earlier, Conor, they've very few medals in the locker. They're in there, they don't care about what's been won before them. They want to build their own portfolio of medals, and here's an opportunity for them. So they'll be going. But I think Derry as well, they always would have traditionally won, you know, competed well for Division 1 titles. So I'm hoping there's going to be a dinger of a game. I think Derry, if they come at it, I'd be really interested. I'm going to give them a sort of an Ulster nod to maybe try and sort of go against the head and take that one. I think Armagh have a bit more to get out of winning on Sunday. They've no medals. Them boys have won nothing and played an awful lot of football. So I think Kieran McGeaney, they would love to get a medal and to get a victory. They've enough time to prepare for the Ulster Championship. So I think they've a wee bit more incentive to go down there and put their best foot forward. I don't think there's much between the two of the teams. I just think they'll be going down with a wee bit more intent. Knowing Jimmy McGuinness, he's already looking to Celtic Park in 3 weeks' time, and that's where his priority will be. So Derry, Armagh, we'll see what we're like next Monday morning.
Yeah, well, hopefully we get an exciting finish to the league next weekend in Croke Park, not only on Sunday with the two big games, but with the Division 3 and 4 finals on Saturday as well. In the meantime, we'll be back next week to reflect on those four games. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listen on independent.ie. So until next Monday, thanks so much for listening, and goodbye.